Playback TV, this Friday I will be live streaming. The Knicks against the Suns should be a very highly anticipated matchup. A lot of star power at both teams, including for the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and then for the Suns, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and possibly Bradley Beal. So make sure to tune in with me. I will be covering the game from start to finish. We will be talking about the game itself alongside various topics, including basketball. So make sure to tune in. But without further ado, let's get into the episode. Another edition of For the Love of the Game. This is your one and only Nick Andre. I'm glad to have you guys tune in with me. Hope everybody had a really great weekend. I know for a fact that I did. I know if you're a guy like me, then you was tapped into everything hoops, man. It was a very eventful weekend of hoops, and I'm definitely going to dive into all of that. Also had a really great day today. Besides the weather being cold, that's the thing about me living in Florida. It's like you just really don't know. See, that's the thing, man, because I talk to a lot of people who don't live here in Florida, a lot of my mutuals who may be on social media or anything, and they just think that it's warm all year round. And don't get me wrong, I mean, it definitely has this warm moment, especially in the wintertime, but we definitely have our cold moments, especially me being in North Florida. Like this morning, I woke up, it was like in the mid-30s. It was crazy. I wore like two jackets this morning. Then by the afternoon, it got to around like 65, 70 degrees. So it's really hard to kind of dress for the day. But, you know, for people who wonder, at least in North Florida, we do get cold weather throughout the winter. Now, it does fluctuate. Sometimes it get warm. Sometimes it get cold. Now, more so South Florida, like Miami or Fort Lauderdale, they're more so warm all year round. The lowest it'll probably get is probably like 50 degrees. But it's kind of different here in North Florida, especially considering that I'm like right on the border of like Alabama and Georgia. So, but besides that, I'm doing good. Besides that, I'm doing really good. And, you know, I'm excited about this episode. So let's get into around the world of hoops. You know, we always got to start with the women. Got to talk about college basketball. One of the more highly anticipated matchups took place on Sunday between the number one team, South Carolina, and one of the top 15 teams in the country, Utah. Give credit, South Carolina took the dub 78-69. They played really well down the stretch. And I'll be real, it was a dogfight from the tip. You know, it was a very close competitive game. But give credit to the number one team who found a way to prevail, and they showed the reason why they are the best team in the country. But the one player that stole the show was Utah's star player, Alyssa Pealey. Oh my God. Like it was a masterclass offensively. She had 37 points, shot 15-23 shooting. And these are type of games that you get up for. And I know that Utah, they've had their success throughout this early season. Their only loss before this game was against Baylor. So they were pretty much on a roll heading into this game. But you know, you're going up against the best team in the country. This is a team that won a national title a few years prior and is coached by one of the best coaches in the country, if not the best coach in the country. I mean, if you ask me, he's the best coach in the country, and Don Staley. So these are the type of games that especially star players are going to be motivated to play against. And especially when you're going up against a team like this, it is important for the star player to set the tone, especially for the rest of the team. And she definitely did that. Like I said earlier, it was a masterclass on the offensive end. She really scored in like a multitude of ways, especially inside. And, you know, it didn't matter who was defending her, whether it was Camila Cardoso, Chloe Kitts, Ashton Watkins. You know, it was just a really great masterclass inside. One thing that stood out to me was the fact that she could get positioning inside. And I know that she may have lacked height against a lot of the centers for South Carolina, but with her having the body and her having the footwork, she was able to score in just a multitude of ways inside. You know, she had some reverse layups, you know, she had some follow-up shots, and she also spaced the floor and knocked down a few three-pointers as well. So it was just an overall great showing from Alyssa Pealey. And I know that the team lost, but, you know, for her to have a career-high 37 points in this matchup, I mean, you can't ask for anything better than that, man. You know, even though they lost this game, I think Utah definitely has to continue to get the recognition as one of the one of the best teams in the Pac-12. I know you got UCLA. I know you got Stanford. I know you got Colorado out there. But Utah is definitely in the conversation, and they even showed it last year. You know, they got all the way to the Sweet 16. And I'll be real, I was watching the run last year because I was telling people, like, yo, y'all got to pay attention to what Elisa Peely and Utah are doing in this tournament. I thought that they could possibly make it a little bit further. Obviously not win a championship, but I thought that they could possibly pull some upsets. But unfortunately, they ran into LSU, which was the team that eventually ended up winning the national title. So, you know, there's no shame in that, but I think personally, like, the biggest question for Utah moving forward is who can step up in the absence of Jonathan Neepkins, who is out for the rest of the season. You know, me and Hoodie in the Headband, Tariq and Bryce, we discussed this in the last episode. Make sure to check that out. But that is the biggest question, because even though the game was close, you know, it was really even though this game against South Carolina was really close, it was really Elisa Peely really putting the team on her back. I want to say there was only two players for Utah scoring double figures. I can't remember who the other one was. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but that's going to be the biggest question, because Neepkins really contributed a lot offensively, especially playing next to Elisa Peely. So that's going to be the biggest question for Utah moving forward. But besides that, when you have a star caliber player like what Elisa Peely is, you know, you're going to be in good hands, you know, especially throughout the rest of the season. So it was an overall great showing from Peely in this matchup, scored a career high. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, South Carolina showed us why they're the best team in the country. You know, they made, like I said earlier, they made some big plays down the stretch and they were able to prevail. Switching gears, next topic. You know, we got to talk about the in-season tournament. Shout out to the Los Angeles Lakers for winning the first ever in-season tournament championship game. They defeated the Indiana Pacers 123-109. And Anthony Davis dominated. 41 points, I believe 20 rebounds. And it's crazy because I tweeted like an hour before the game. I was like, I think AD has to have a dominant showing in this matchup, especially going up against an elite interior defender like Miles Turner. Like, I think that this was the opportunity for him to show himself that he is one of the best power forwards in the league, or center, whatever you want to consider him. And, you know, and he did that. You know, he delivered. Because, you know, and that's the thing too, because I'm not going to say AD has had a bad season. Like, I'm not going to say that he struggled throughout the season, because I mean he has been averaging really good numbers, but I still feel like he could take another step, especially, you know, with LeBron getting older in year 21, which, by the way, LeBron looks incredible right now. You know what I'm saying? You can't even tell he's in year 21, but still, you still want to be able to carry that load off of a 38 going on 39 year old player, star player at least. So what AD was able to do in this matchup was really, really incredible. Then, of course, you had other contributors as well. Austin Reeves, who had a dominant first half in that matchup. So, overall, it was a really great show for the Lakers. And I know that there's going to be some haters out there that's going to downplay it because it's the Lakers and it's LeBron. You know, it's almost the same thing that happened in the bubble back in 2020 whenever the Lakers did win that chip and how people wanted to discredit it. You can't discredit this, man. You know, this was a really – like, the overall, the in-season tournament was a success. I talked about it in last week's episode. It was a really, really great success. And I'll be real, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, we got high level basketball, and I'll be real, like, a team like the Lakers winning the whole thing, it really surprised me, because I didn't think a lot of the veteran teams were going to be able to get up and really get motivated to play these type of games. I thought this was going to be more of an opportunity for the young players, which, you know, Indiana Pacers are a young team, and they definitely took care of business, you know, leading up to the championship game. But to see LeBron play the way that he played in this in-season tournament, and to see other veterans as well, other star veterans, be able to play the way that they played, like, it was just remarkable. You know, it was high-level basketball. I don't know if you can really compare it to the playoffs, but it definitely did give that playoff-like atmosphere. So give credit to the Lakers, man. Also, another thing, man, give credit to the Indiana Pacers as well. You know, I think what we have seen is that they are here. You know what I'm saying? There's no, let's wait another 1-2 years. Let's wait for these guys to develop. No, this team is here now, and they showed that. They beat Boston in the first single elimination game. Then they beat Milwaukee. That's back-to-back wins against two of the top contenders in the Eastern Conference. Flat-out incredible in a playoff-like atmosphere. Like, it was just incredible. Tyrese Halliburton, I think we gotta put him up there in the MVP conversation. What do you have in that game against Milwaukee? 27 points, 15 assists, 0 turnovers. and then hit one of the biggest shots and said it's my time? Come on, man. And like I've been telling people, Tyrese Halliburton, he needs to be a franchise player, or maybe not a franchise player. I may have not said that back then. I definitely said that he could be a starting point guard for a team, because when he was in Sacramento, I saw the potential. Obviously, he could develop as an overall scorer, a three-level scorer, but with his high IQ for the game and his passing ability, I knew that he could be a valuable player on a playoff-contending team, but I knew that it could not happen in Sacramento because they already had De'Aaron Fox, and De'Aaron Fox was their franchise player, which, you know, nothing wrong with that. You know, De'Aaron Fox has definitely shown himself, and which is the reason why the Sacramento Kings are currently playoff contenders as of now. So when the trade went down and Tyrese Halliburton went to Indiana, I was like, okay, yeah, this is definitely going to be the golden opportunity. Last year he shined, and this year he's only elevated. He has only elevated, and he shows the tangibles of what it takes to be a franchise player. So, like I said, this Pacers team is for real now. You know, there's no waiting till, oh man, let's wait, you know, another few years when these guys get older. No, this team is legit. They're elite defensively. Man, the defensive masterclass that they showed in that play-in tournament game, at least against Milwaukee, was flat out incredible. You know, everybody was getting after, whether it was Aaron Nesmith, whether it was Buddy Hield. Obviously, Miles Turner is an elite defender. Halliburton was also, you know, getting into the passing lanes as well. So the Indiana Pacers had a great showing, not only just, you know, throughout that game, but just in the tournament overall. So, you know, I'm really, really happy to see what the future is going to look like for Indiana. And I just want to see where this team goes. You know what I'm saying? And also, by the way, you know, I think a lot of people didn't understand what Tyrese Halliburton meant in his postgame press conference. A lot of people thought that he believed that the championship game meant nothing. What I basically took from it was, he was upset about losing to the Lakers in the championship game, but also, you know, you got to bounce back because you got a game on Monday. So it's like you can dwell on it, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to turn back around and finish the rest of the regular season. So I think a lot of people misinterpreted what he really meant in his postgame presser, but to me, at least that's what I got from him. But, you know, give credit to the Lakers, give credit to the Indiana Pacers for getting to the championship game. And, you know, I'm really excited to see where the NCAA tournament goes on from there. What's up, you guys? This is the one and only Nick Andre, and I just want to let you guys know, in case you guys have been living under a rock, I do have a new series that's currently going on right now titled Underrated Duos on my Patreon channel. It's where I dive back into a lot of 1-2 punches and a lot of 1-2 tandems in past NBA history who may have not won a championship, may not get recognized, but did do some damage as a unit. So make sure to check that out. Make sure to subscribe to my Patreon. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode. Switching gears once again, I want to highlight some G League players who have shined as of recently. Shout out to my guy, Imani Bates. You know, this has been my guy since high school. You know, I've been covering him for a while now, who is playing for the Cleveland Chargers right now, averaging 25.5 a game, nearly 5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, and 2 steals. I know that, you know, I know that Imani's journey in college was not what many people expected. You know, he started out in Memphis. He didn't work out in Memphis. Then he went to, I want to say it was Eastern Michigan, I believe. He played there for a while. And he actually had a pretty good year that season. And I know that during high school, I know that a lot of people expected him to be one of the higher prospects in his draft. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out to be. So he gets drafted by Cleveland. He ends up winning the Summer League Championship. Now he's in the G League playing for the Cleveland Chargers. And, he has shined tremendously. Him and Sharif, y'all already know how I feel about Sharif Cooper. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's really no debate about that. But Imani, one thing about Imani that stands out to me is that he plays with a lot of confidence. You know, he feels like he is the best player on the floor. And when he has the ball in his hands, his goal is to attack you, whether it's on the perimeter, whether it's getting to the basket. And I believe he's shown that. And also, I mean, you talk about the numbers, nearly 1.5 blocks. So he's really proving it on both ends of the floor. You know, being able to be a focal point not only on offense, but defensively as well. So I've been really, really impressed. I know that the Chargers, they don't really have a really good record right now, but he has definitely shined, man. So give credit to Imani Bates. Will the Cavs possibly call him up? I know that they really need like another wing shooter. So who knows? You know, so I think if he continues to play well, and just, you know, continues to play at a high level, the NBA opportunity will come. And it's not just, you know, the two-way opportunity. It's going to be a full-time NBA player moving forward. Another guy I want to highlight is my guy Cam Whitmore. Hooping. Straight up hooping. Leading the G League in points per game at 26 a game. Nearly 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists, and nearly 2 steals. Shooting 48% from the floor and shooting 42% from 3. One of his highlights from the season is scoring 42 points in one of the last games. He's been incredible since college. Another guy that I've really been impressed with. I'm actually surprised that he's in the G League right now, but I understand that the Rockets, they have a lot of guard play, so there may have not been an opportunity for Cam Whitmore to be a part of Ime Udoka's rotation. But what he's doing right now for the Rio Grande Valley Vipers is just really, really incredible. And he's continuing to score at a high level. I mean, he's kind of like Imani. You know, he plays with a lot of confidence. You know, when he has the ball in his hands, he can make a lot of things happen. He can score inside and out. He can be able to kick it out to open shooters. He can run the pick and roll with a big. So he does a lot of things that you know, that really, really impresses me on offense. So like I said about Imani, he could be another guy that, you know, if he just keeps working, maybe he'll get that full-time NBA opportunity. So, you know, that's another guy that I've really been impressed with, man. You know, he's been killing it in the G League so far. And, you know, I'm excited for Cam Whitmore's future moving forward. Switching gears, let's get to the last topic. You know, this is something that I didn't really want to talk about, but I guess I might as well discuss this. So this was last Tuesday. I'm on FaceTime with one of my best friends. I'm watching the Lakers' and Suns playing tournament game from my house, and he's watching it from his house. We started getting into a little bit of a WNBA conversation, which is crazy because he doesn't even watch women's basketball like that. Like, he really only follows because he knows that I cover it and everything. So he kind of keeps in tune. He doesn't watch it, but he keeps in tune with what's going on. And first we started talking about Dawn Staley. And he made this crazy statement to me saying that Deion Sanders and Dawn Staley were like on the same level as far as coaching wise. And please pardon my language when I say this, but I told him he was out of his fucking mind. And that's no disrespect to Prime. I love Prime. I love what he was able to do at Colorado. I know that they didn't finish the season the way that they wanted to, but I think that he has a bright future out there. But when you talk about Dawn Staley and what she's been able to do as a coach in South Carolina, you know, really making that program one of the dynasties right now. She's a two-time national champion winner as a coach for that program, and she's, you know, she has given us some of the best players right now in the WNBA. Asia Wilson, Alicia Gray, Tiffany Mitchell, Aaliyah Boston, Zaya Cook. You know, and the list just goes on and on, man. So I thought he was a little bit psycho for even saying that. But, you know, it didn't surprise me either because, like I said, he's not really in tune with women's basketball like that. He just knows a little bit. But that's not even the conversation that I even wanted to get into. He asked me a question, and I don't even know how we got on this. So obviously, the Las Vegas Aces are the now recent two-time defending champs. They beat the New York Liberty in the finals this past season. So my friend asked me, he was like, man, so if Asia Wilson three-peats and gets a third championship ring, could she surpass Candace Parker on the all-time list? And when he asked me this, I was like, oh, my God, man. Because if y'all know me, Candace is one of my personal favorite players of all time. I just remember being a little kid and watching her at Tennessee. I was like, oh yeah, this player is really, really special. And I've been locked in on her ever since, you know, days with Sparks, winning two MVPs, then going to Chicago, getting a chip there. And obviously now in Las Vegas, you know, with her playing next to Asia. So That one was tough, and I'll be real, it took me a while to really answer because, like I said, I love Candace, but I'll be real, like, Asia Wilson's on the path to greatness. You talk about the resume, two-time MVP, two-time WNBA champion, two-time defensive player of the year, a finals MVP now, multiple all-W first teams. You know, the resume is just incredible, and, you know, I don't know how other people feel. I got Asia in my top 10. You know, point blank, personally. And I know that, you know, there's some people who may not feel like that, but I'll be real. Even if she's not in your top 10, she's got to be knocking at the door. And she's banging on it. You know what I'm saying? So she's like right there as far as being top 10 if she's not in your top 10. But I'll tell you this. She's in my personal top 10. But to answer the question, if Asia were to win a third consecutive title, I would have to say yes. I would have to say that she would have to surpass Candace Parker for me. And it hurts me because I love Candace. And Candace is a legend to me. But like when you look at the past, when you look at both of their journeys, yes, Candace won an MVP in her rookie season. And then she got her next one in 2013. So that's two MVPs within a span of 5-6 years, which is incredible. But she wasn't able to win a title till year 8 or 9, I believe, in 2016 when the Sparks had beat the Minnesota Lynx. And I get it, you know, different situation and everything, but Asia came out the gates. You know, she got the team to the finals in 2020 in the bubble. Same year she won an MVP. Then being able to get back in 2022, which was last year. And then, of course, this year as well in 2023. So, I mean, obviously Candace has been that girl since she got into the league, but definitely Asia has as well. And what she's been able to accomplish within, what is this, 6 years now? She's been in the league. Yes, 6 years being in the WNBA. You know, I've already listed a resume, and she's only going to get better. Like, I'll be real. I said 2022 was going to be Asia's best year. But then when she came back this year in 2023, I was like, yo, this is just insane. Like, she's better than what she was last year. Like, it's crazy. So, yes, that is my answer. If Asia Wilson were to win another title this upcoming season, I would definitely have her surpassing Candace Parker. Actually, I'll be real. I'll have her top five. I'll have her top five all time. I know that may sound crazy to many people, but if Asia three-peats, which will be the first time any team has three-peated since the Houston Comets did it in the early WNBA days, if she's able to lead the Aces to a three-peat, top five, I don't want to hear it. Somebody's got to step aside. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's got to step aside. So that's my answer, man. You know, obviously I'm a big Asia fan. I believe she's the best in the league, but I also want to make sure that to let people know I love Candace Parker and I will always respect Candace Parker. I hope that she doesn't retire after this year. I hope that she uses at least one more season. But yeah, I mean, if Asia does win another one, I gotta put her ahead of her. So that's my final answer, man. Let me know what y'all think for sure. But that'll wrap up this episode. Appreciate everybody for listening. Follow the pod on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Love with TG B-Ball. Follow myself at Nick Andre ATR. I have another episode coming out this Thursday covering the NBA, so make sure to tune in for that. And make sure to subscribe anywhere you listen, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. And until next time, you guys, deuces.